Biblical doctrine is always relevant. That's true even of the Old Testament. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, there are aspects of the law that give us insight into what Jesus accomplished. Today, we're going to look at the great truth of justification by faith. God grants us the blessedness of knowing that our sins have been forgiven, covered, and taken away. It's illustrated by the Old Testament concept of the scapegoat.
Long before the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, the world had already developed a lot of religious ritual to try to deal with their intuitive sense of sin and guilt. The mystery religions throughout the Greek Empire involved initiations for people joining different religions, initiations that supposedly covered their sin and did away with their guilt. In one I read about, the initiate went through a series of ceremonies known as identification rites. And in one particular rite, the initiate was lowered into a deep pit. Beams were then put across the pit in lattice formation. And on top of the beams, a bull that had been killed was laid down. Its throat had been cut. And the blood of that bull would pour down into the pit, literally bathing the person below in blood. The mystery religion actually referred to this event as their salvation. And when the ceremony was over, the initiate was brought up out of that pit. He was covered in blood, and he was referred to as reborn for all of eternity. Well, where'd they come up with something like that? Well, they're all distortions of God's original plan of atonement delivered to mankind all the way back at the beginning of human history when Adam and Eve sinned. What did God do? Well, he graciously took the lives of innocent animals, took their skins, covered Adam and Eve, robed them in them. This was a picture of the very first animal sacrifice to atone for sin, the death of an innocent animal for the sins of guilty people. And of course, this looked forward to the final sacrifice of an innocent person, the Son of God, who died to permanently atone for the sins of the human race. All who trust in him alone are freed from the penalty, from the guilt, the stain of sin. Well, now in Romans chapter 3, Paul describes the doctrine of justification by faith alone, how someone can be made righteous. Now, righteous doesn't mean perfect. It means right with God. And becoming right with God doesn't come through digging a hole in the ground and going through a series of initiation ceremonies. It comes, as we've studied, through faith alone in Christ alone. Now, here in chapter 4, Paul is going to give us an illustration of what forgiveness looks like in the life of a sinner who repents. He writes here in verse 6, David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. In other words, David is an example of how a sinner who repents can be made right with God. You may be aware that King David was guilty of adultery and then, to cover it up, conspiracy to murder. He's a great example of somebody who didn't deserve the forgiveness of God. And that's Paul's point, beloved. In fact, David will later testify of the blessing of undeserved grace, of undeserved forgiveness. So what is Paul doing here in Romans chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8? Well, he's taking a quote right out of David's Psalm number 32. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Wow. What a powerful testimony. Let me read this again. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered, against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Let me highlight three key words here that describe God's work of atonement that covers our sin. The first word is forgiven. Now, that word means sent away or taken away. John the Baptist used a similar expression when he introduced Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, no doubt David was thinking of the Old Testament Day of Atonement. That was the day when the high priest would lay his hands on a live goat and confess over it, as it were, the sins of the people of Israel, according to Leviticus chapter 16, which we've studied in our wisdom journey some time ago. That goat was called a scapegoat, and that goat would then be released into the wilderness. The scapegoat symbolically took away, it carried away the guilt, the sins of the people of Israel for that previous year. You know, today we still use the phrase a scapegoat. We're usually talking about an innocent person who takes the blame for something somebody else did. Well, the scapegoat would become a picture of Jesus Christ who hung on the cross for us. He was the innocent Lamb of God. He'd never sinned, but he had our sin, our iniquity, placed on him. So he took the blame. He effectively carried our sins away. And that's what this key word, forgiveness, means. Well, now, the second key word here in David's song is the word covered. Verse 7 says, "Blessed are those whose sins are covered." Now, again, God came up with this idea. It goes all the way back to that ancient practice when the high priest took the blood of an innocent animal that was sacrificed and sprinkled it inside the Holy of Holies as a sin offering for the people. Well, now this sacrifice, in fact, all the sacrifices of the Old Testament couldn't permanently atone for sin. The people's sins were covered temporarily until Jesus sacrificed himself, paid for it all completely and eternally. So David's ticket to heaven would be paid for in the future death of Christ. Beloved, your ticket to heaven was paid for in the past, there at Calvary's cross. Well, now, the third word I want to point out, the key word here is the word count. Paul quotes David here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 8. "Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." Count, by the way, is an accounting term. So the phrase here could be actually rendered this way: the Lord does not put David's sin into David's account or David's ledger. Earlier in verse 3, Paul used the same word, writing, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." In other words, in Abraham's ledger, the Lord wrote the word righteous or righteousness, right with God. So imagine it this way. God removes our sin from our ledger and writes in the word righteousness. And that's true for every believer today. The ledger of your life has had every sin erased and the word righteousness written across every page. You can't remove that word either. You see, God writes that word with a permanent marker. It's all a gift of God's grace that you receive by faith in the atoning work of Christ. And let me tell you, there's a day coming when every human being would gladly give everything he owns, everything he has, everything he's ever wanted to have, in exchange for his slate being cleansed of sin, his record, his ledger of sin being permanently erased, and righteousness written into his account. Beloved, there's not a religious ceremony in the world that can accomplish that for you. Doesn't matter how many initiation rites you go through, they can't cover up your sin. They can't deliver you from the judgment of God. I remember reading about a man who had a pet snake. One day he decided to purchase a live mouse to use as food for his snake, and he dropped that mouse into the large glass container cage where the snake was sleeping on a bed of sawdust and wood shavings, little flakes of wood. That little mouse immediately sensed the danger. At any moment, that sleeping snake could awaken and, well, swallow him for dinner. Obviously, he needed to come up with a plan. So what would he do? Well, he quickly set to work scooping those shavings with his little paws, furiously covering the snake with sawdust. The mouse apparently thought that this would solve his problem. Well, the only salvation for that little mouse came from the outside of that glass cage when the man took pity on him and removed him from the cage. Well, let me tell you, beloved, religious ceremonies, human effort, good works, religious rituals, that's like piling wood chips upon sleeping judgment. It isn't going to work at all. David again says it very well. How blessed, how incredibly eternally blessed is that person whose sins have been carried away forever. That person against whom the Lord will not count his sin against him, because his sins have been forgiven forever. Well, until we set sail again next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and he called this lesson The Last Scapegoat. I hope it was a blessing to you. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, or any of the past lessons along this wisdom journey, you'll find all of them online. You can visit wisdomonline.org anytime to access the wisdom journey and all of Stephen's 4 decades of Bible teaching. When you get to that site, you're going to find Stephen's full-length sermons, all of the books that he's authored, articles, answers to Bible questions, and more. Stephen's son, Seth, writes a daily devotional, and you'll find that online as well. Visit wisdomonline.org to learn more. If we can help you today, our number is 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. If you have a comment to share, or if you'd like to drop a note of encouragement to Stephen, he'd love to receive it. It's always encouraging to know how God's using this ministry to bless you. Write to Wisdom International, P.O. Box 37297, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27627. I hope we hear from you very soon, and I hope you'll join us back here next time to continue along this wisdom journey.